Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing us here this morning to worship, to gather together, to sing your praises, and to be among your people so that we can be fed by the preaching and teaching of God's word, but that we can overflow with what we have in us, the Holy Spirit. Be with Pastor Cal as he preaches the word this morning. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Good morning. Everybody okay? Say this with me. Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Your servant is listening. I am in the last of a sermon series. For the rest of the year, we're still, you know, on board with the theme for this year, an open door in 24. But I've been preaching for the last several weeks on an open door of revival. And this is the last revival type message I think that we'll be hearing. And then we're going to move on to something else as we end the summer. can I just say to you, God is at work in our city. Some of you don't know, have a clue what I'm talking about, but revival is here. I mean, I was amazed Diane and I have been in church in these revival meetings 21 out of 30 nights in July. And it's been amazing. I've heard some of the greatest preaching in my life. Some of the music, if I still could, make me want to get up and run somewhere. I mean, it's been uplifting and inspiring. Some of the testimonies, the giving. Did you know that our churches have given over $17,000? And all of that went to the city of Clarksville, to some type of ministry? I want to tell you, and then I heard a testimony Wednesday night. I want to tell you, David Mackins killed it. He rang the bell. He says, what unified us and what brings us together is the power of the gospel, which you heard about today in song. And so, but I heard a testimony Wednesday night. This little young lady, well, I say young, she's probably in her 40s. That's young to me. Got up and said, I was born and raised in Clarksville. And she said, I've been in church all my life, and I have never seen what's happening right now. And she said, God's bringing white folks, black folks, Hispanic folks, Asian folks together, and we're coming together in unity and harmony. And I want to tell you, that's the beginning of revival. The meetings are finished, but revival's just getting started. Look at your neighbor and say, bring it on. All right, now, I'm excited about this passage of Scripture. What we're looking at this morning in Daniel chapter 9 may be the greatest intercessory prayer for revival in all the Bible. I mean, after this intercessory prayer of prophecy and preparation, Daniel was given the great 70 weeks prophecy. Which you'll hear about from Billy here in the next, either today or next week. This is a powerful, powerful prayer. So I've entitled the message today, Still Praying for Revival. Y'all got to forgive. I'm not apologizing. But I know I got a bad case, I can't help it. And y'all just keep hearing this from me. But this church needs to be revived. The church in Clarksville, Tennessee needs revival. Why? So that spiritual awakening might sweep this community that we're living in. All right, stand as we honor the reading of God's word. We're in Daniel chapter 9. Whew, what a prayer. Tell you what, I'm just going to read the first two verses here. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Dick Littleton asked God to bless the word today. Amen. Now, let me just kind of set the table quickly. Daniel was one of those young men in Judah and in Jerusalem when the Babylonians overran the city, and he was hauled off into slavery, into captivity, around 605 B.C. in the first deportation of the Israelites, of the Jewish people, after the it's now 538 B.C., and so for 68 years, Daniel has been in a foreign land called Babylon. And he's been there and along with the other people of God. And somehow, some way, he had figured out how to have Bible study in a foreign land. And he's been studying, the Bible says, the books. What books are we talking about? We're talking about Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 14 that morning. He's reading about Jeremiah's prophecies, how the people of God would spend 70 years in captivity. And then he was reading in Isaiah 44 and verse 28 and how God would move on the heart of a Persian king to proclaim that it was time for the Jewish people to go home and rebuild the temple and remodel the city, if you will, and restore worship. And so what a Bible study he's having that morning. Can I just stop right here and ask you, just kind of meddle a little bit, what kind of Bible study are y'all having every morning? Is it good? Four goods. Let me tell you something, nothing is any better than early in the morning spending time with Jesus in His Word and in prayer. It'll change your life. It's what's changed mine, and God's still working on me. Amen. And so he's in this wonderful time in the Lord, and God lays it on his heart to begin to pray. And now for 68 years, the people of God have been in slavery. And Daniel begins to, watch this, verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications. Hello? With fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Isn't that exactly what our governor asked us to do in July? To fast and pray for revival in the month of July? By the way, it wouldn't hurt us to do a little something like that in August, to keep fasting and praying. Y'all know what fasting does? It brings power to your prayer life. Every time you get hungry or you're making this sacrifice of food or a meal or whatever, it reminds you, man, I've got to pray and seek the face of God. And when you give up something that's very near and dear to your heart, like eating, that gets the attention of Almighty God, and He's drawn to weakness. And so that's what Daniel's doing. He's sitting there in ashes and he's wearing sackcloth, which is kind of akin to a burlap sack. Girls, y'all know what I'm talking about? And so that anytime you saw someone like that, you knew that they were fasting. And so Daniel is fasting and praying before the God of heaven that he would send revival to his people. Oh. And I want to tell you, we'll never have revival in its fullness until we fast and pray. All right, that kind of sets the table for what we want to do. Now, I want us to take a quick look at this prayer. And this intercessory prayer may be the greatest prayer for revival in all the Bible. I've said it twice now. And this prayer focuses on four things. First of all, it focuses on God's character. Look at verse 4. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Have you got your Bible? Or your mobile device? And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. Now, you understand what he's doing? He's fasting and praying, and he begins with confession. It says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. Oh Lord, righteousness belongs to you. But to us, shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in the countries to which you've driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. But first, he begins to focus in this prayer time on the character of Almighty God. And he uses these three words. He uses might and mercy. And what's the second one? Or rather the third one, oh Lord, great and awesome God. He's focusing in on God's might, God's majesty, and God's mercy. How many of you know when we begin to pray that you are coming into the presence of Almighty God? Can you imagine that? I hear it every time Dwight bows his head to pray. He's like a broken record. He says, oh God, what a special thing it is to come into your throne room, into your throne of grace, and to receive grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. I agree, God is mighty, is he not? And there isn't anything God cannot do. Give him praise, Second Mile. There isn't anything God cannot do. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. And so Daniel begins by praying and thanking God and praising God for his might and his majesty. You know, what really touches my heart this morning is God is so high and lifted up. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But I want to tell you, he's also up close and personal. Amen. He takes special attention with his people. He is mighty. He is majestic. That's who you're praying to. And he's full of mercy. How many of you have found that out? Come on. God has been merciful to us. And you know what the word mercy means? Not getting what we deserve. Hello? And so he's praying there, and he begins focusing on God's character. And as he gets a glimpse of the glory, and he gets just a picture of who God is, he begins to say, oh, woe is me. And he uses the plural pronoun, we. God, we have sinned. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against you. We have blasphemed your name. We. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. What happens to one of us happens to all of us. When something good happens, it happens to all of us. When something bad's going on, hello? And so he is praying that God would forgive them of their iniquity. The people of God, these three major sins, I mentioned this, idolatry, immorality, and injustice. There was rampant injustice. Major rebellion against God, idolatry. You know, and immorality. Can you not see those three things going on here in our country? Amen. Wake up and smell the coffee. I tell you what blows me away is that God hadn't just wiped us off the map yet. I won't tell you, any country that's so prevalent and so that worships immorality like we do, we're under the judgment of Almighty God. And idolatry, how many altars are we worshiping at? And injustice, times have not changed. We might as well be in Babylon. And so hence the need to pray and seek God's face this morning. And don't forget, he's a God of mercy. He is a God of mercy. I am the poster child for this. If God would forgive me and use me, he'll do that for anyone. Hello? Look at your neighbor and say, he's a God of mercy. So his prayer is focused on God's character. And then secondly, his prayer is focused on God's commandment. Jump down to verse 14. Woo! Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Do you see that phrase there, the Lord our God? That's a reference to the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the first four focused on their relationship with God, and the last six focused on their relationship with one another. And there was massive failure by the people of God to keep God's commandments. And by the way, the New Testament says His commandments are not burdensome. You can keep the commandments. And Jesus shrunk the ten down into two. Love the Lord your God with all your what? And the second is likened to the first. We are to... Yeah. And you know what? They had broken the commandment, and God sent prophet after prophet after prophet. He sent Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, Habakkuk to the nation of Judah. Over and over and over again, God is sending His word to the people, and they continued to rebel against it. I want to tell you, God is a patient God. And when one is in sin, we're all in sin. And so He continues to focus on God's character and God's commandment. Then there's a third thing He focuses on, is God's covenant. Now watch this, watch this. Lean in, don't miss this. Look at verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. And so, this reference to Egypt is a reference really to God's covenant that He'd made with His people. You remember when He brought them out of Egypt and then brought the law down from Mount Sinai? He said, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. And had God broken the covenant? No. I mean, He brought them with a long arm out of Egypt. Whew. And then drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And then got them to Mount Sinai. And while Moses is up on the mountain, what do the people do? They come up with it. They ask Aaron to make them a golden calf. And they began to dance and worship around the golden calf. And then when Moses came down off the mountain, he asked Aaron, he said, where did this come from? And Aaron said, I don't know. All of a sudden, it just showed up. And then God kept His promise. Even after 40 years in the wilderness, did He take them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey? He is a covenant-keeping God. And that's what Daniel is so focused on here, that he's going to keep his covenant with his people. And he says, God, we deserve your judgment, but please, God, would you relent? Our city is in ruins. And the city of Jerusalem, after the Babylonians had ransacked it, I mean, they tore down. The temple was nothing more than a heap of stones. And the city walls had been broken down and the gates had been burned. There was no more worship in the holy city of God. And God's name had been profaned. And yet, Daniel's got a bad case. I can't help it. He said, Lord, we've sinned. But you're the covenant-keeping God. And you cannot go back on your word. And if we'll repent, you will restore us and revive us. That's a great word for us today. That is a great word for us today. No matter where we are, no matter what we've done, if we'll turn from our sin, and turn means a change of the mind, a change of the will, God will hear from heaven. And He'll revive His church. And He'll bring revival to the church house, to the schoolhouse, to the courthouse, and hallelujah, glory to God, even to the White House. Give Him praise in the house today. Hallelujah. And then finally, his prayer is focused on God's compassion. I'm so thankful that God is a God of compassion. Look at verse 18. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Woo! What a great prayer. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? That is a spirit-filled, heartfelt, soul-searching, sin-convicting prayer from the heart of the prophet. And that's the kind of prayer that's going to get the attention of God. In Second Mile Church, that's the kind of prayer that's going to revive us. And I don't know how you are or how you feel today, but can I just tell you, we're in need. Just like the people of God in Daniel's day, we're in need. We're in need. I want to tell you what, Donna, I'm thinking about my grandchildren right now. Dwight, I'm thinking about your great-grandchildren. I'm thinking about our families. And I want our younger kids to be able to grow up and experience some of the things spiritually that I was able to experience. I want our country and our nation and our state and our city to return to the Lord. Amen. And He'll do that. Yes. If we'll follow this prescription. Amen. If we'll repent of our sin and turn to Him by faith. Even though we've slaughtered millions of unborn children. Even though we turn to immorality, I mean, I am so sick of all the pornography. Every time you turn on some kind of media, there it is. Are y'all with me? I mean, and then almost weekly, y'all, you hear of the fall of a pastor or a politician and the immorality and then all the injustice that's going on. Listen, folks, it's always the right time to do the right thing. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to move on us. Where is David? I heard him. There he is in the back. Now, David, I don't want you to preach your prayer, but I want you to get up out of that chair and just come up here and pray for our churches and our city, would you? He was at the revival a lot of different nights, and he's got a heart for revival. So just from right there, just pray for our city and pray for our churches and our nation. Would you, brother? Thank you. Amen. If you are here this morning, I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. But God does. And we need to pray together. We need to focus on what God wants us to focus on. He wants to do so much more than what we see happening. I believe revival is here, but it's only going to be ushered in all of its fullness if we do what we've just heard from the Word today. Maybe your home needs rebuilding. Maybe your marriage needs restoring. Maybe you need to be a lighthouse in a dark place, maybe at work or at school. Maybe your neighborhood is looking to you And you can be a light in your neighborhood. I don't know how God's working exactly this morning, but I'm going to tell you, God's calling us to a season of prayer and revival like never before. I believe this is our last chance, brothers and sisters. All this mess that's going on over in the Middle East, this is our last chance. But I'm positive God will hear if we'll respond in obedience this morning. Let's all stand. The altar's open. If you need prayer, if you need to seek the Lord's face, you can come and be prayed for. Andrew, what are we going to sing?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.